Well, there are many things in life that simply just make sense, aren't there? For example, 2 + 2 will always equal 4. No matter how many fancy equations you may throw at it, 2 + 2 always equals 4. And we all know that roast beef must go with potatoes and gravy, if you so choose. And of course, as we all know, where's Trevor? The sun always shines in Annalong. There are just some things in life that make sense and are simply correct. Well, my first example is true in mathematics. Of course, the second one about your roast beef and potatoes, well, that depends on your choice and your fancy, and indeed if you're vegetarian or not, because I wouldn't want to force it on anyone. And thirdly, well, we take it as it comes here in Annalong. But to get away from those, there are certainties in life, aren't there? For example, one very good certainty is that we know that Queen Victoria became the sovereign on the 20th of June, 1837, and she ceased to be queen on the 22nd of January, 1901. That's for certain. We know that no matter how we may look at it, it has been documented, it has been recorded as fact that this has been the reign of Queen Victoria. It's something that cannot be challenged. The others, well, people can challenge us. And indeed, where there is error, they may then choose to inform us of what is the truth so that we will know what the truth is for the future. And that's what John's been writing about. He's been writing so that the church will know truth. And so far, we've learned two things about this early church in Ephesus. Number one, it's a church that is living in a secular place with secular values. That's what they're faced with day in, day out. The world is thrusting itself upon the church. Birthing from the Greek pillar of philosophy, false Christians had set themselves up as authorities on matters of the Christian faith. But the problem is they did not hold to Scripture as their supreme standard. Rather, they kept to what they called secret knowledge that they claimed was revealed to them only by God. This had misled many away from the true church and the true teaching, and these young Christians were devoured by these wolves. The second lesson that we've learned so far from John is the challenge to these people known as the Gnostics. And the antidote for their false position or their false poison is truth. And this is what John has been building on with every stage of his writing. He wants the church to identify these false teachers so that they can determine the true from the false. And this is no small task for them. When the church is bombarded on every side by Roman society and that society's liberal view of life and liberal view of truth, then every person's argument is becoming truth. So it's no small task for the church to determine this. They're trying to weave their way through society and figuring out what is God's best for them rather than the world. And so in chapter 4, we pick up on John's teaching again to the church of how it is to know what they're dealing with. And they are to be able to identify the enemy and so not come under the falsehoods of the enemy. At the end of chapter 3, John taught one way that the church can stand against these Gnostics, and that was by loving each other, by being a true fellowship of believers, that they love one another because they know the love of Christ. And because they know the love of Christ, then they live that love, and so they should be living as people of love, people who don't avoid each other, people who forgive, people who have true fellowship because of the fellowship they know in Jesus Christ. That's what he was forcing them to at the end of chapter 3. And in these first 6 verses of chapter 4, we now get a litmus test of knowing the truth from the lie. Now, I confess, I was never any good at science. I can barely remember the litmus test, so I went to my good friend at Wikipedia, and this is what they told me. The main use of litmus is to test whether a solution is acidic or alkaline, as blue litmus paper turns red under acidic conditions and red litmus paper turns blue under alkaline conditions. Well done if you remember that. I just remember it changed color. It was something to do with acid and alkaline, but As I say, science was never my forte. But it's as simple as that. It's a litmus test. That's what he wants for them. He wants them to be sure that whatever this test is, whenever the result comes out, they will know without a shadow of a doubt exactly what's going on. And so we begin in verse 1 with John introducing us to the topic. And as he has been doing throughout this letter, although he rushed straight into it at the very beginning, he has been very pastoral. And so he opens in his very pastoral way of referring to the believers as beloved. And they are special to him. And he wants them to live well for Christ. And in verse 4, we'll see another common usage of his, which is to call them little children, showing his is the care of a father for these spiritual infants. And so in verse 1, he warns the believers that every spirit is not from God, so they must be tested. And the test is very simple. If they are not from God, then they are false prophets who are of the world. And the source of true Christian teaching is God through the Holy Spirit. And you will notice in the passage that when John uses Spirit with a capital S, he is referring to the Holy Spirit. And when he uses a small s, then he is referring to demonic spirits. So as a starting point in his commentary on this passage, commentator David L. Allen says that the supernatural is real, but it